In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you, who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. One of the most lived, practiced, essential, demanded, compulsory, the list goes on, difficult and at times disappointing or disheartening, this, you know, heartbreaking deed or verb in the English language is the word trust. This deed applies to almost everything in our lives, from our alarm clocks to our fellow mankind. Now, let's be a little Christian silly. Let's take alarm clocks, for example. When you set your alarm, you set it in the trust that it will most definitely go off and wake you up. You know, this is placing our trust in material things. Why? Because trust is defined as firm belief in the reliability, trust, ability, or strength of someone or something. But in the Christian realm, actually in all religions, trust is the most warranted, most demanded attribute or deed, which is preceded by faith. And when I mention religion, I mean faith, and there are many faiths out there. You see, when we believe in God, we trust in His power, His wisdom, His potency, His love, His grace, His mercy, and most importantly, His promises. Following trust, we practice obedience, contentment, patience, and perseverance and acceptance. Why? Because of the powers and virtues that make God what He is. That is almighty, eternal, omniscient, omnipresent, merciful, just. He is infallible, incapable of making mistakes or being wrong, never failing, always effective. This is God, not man, beloved. God. He is inconceivable, unimaginable, invisible, incomprehensible. He is ever-existing and eternally the same, praise and glory be to His name. He's unchangeable. James chapter 1 verse 17 states, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no mutation, that is alteration or change, not even the shadow of change. So only to God is befitting the above trust or the truth, and not to any man whatsoever. Why? Because in Psalm chapter 103 or Psalm 103 verse 15 we read, man is like the grass in the days and like a flower in the field. So he springs up, for when the wind has blown upon it, it is not. That means it's not there anymore. Neither is his place known. So man is not eternal. Man is temporal. And hence, we should not put our total, uncompromising, and unwavering trust. We should not exhaust our trust. We should not graciously gift to man our trust because we can be betrayed. Look at Jude, the betrayer, Simon, the denier. Just as Jesus, in John chapter 2, verse 24 to 25, we read, Jesus did not confide, that means entrust himself to them, that is to man, because he knew all men. He is God, praise be to his name. Only God knows all men. He knew all men, and he needed not that anyone should testify to him respecting any man, for he himself, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, he himself knew what is in men. John chapter 2, verse 24 to 25. Notice I said total, uncompromising, and unwavering trust we should not gift to our fellow mankind. Why? Why was I specific? Because there needs to be an element of trust on someone and something. But always keeping in mind, in the back of our mind, that the reality and possibility of the breaking of that trust by that person. You see, when your alarm clock fails to sound or it fails to go off, what happens? Your trust is altered. Your trust is hindered. Listen to my morning alarm clock. مدنا خيصا برا لخو مريم شبخين اندتو بارو قد خل بريات هولا بخنا. I love waking up to that alarm clock because it is from the early morning prayers. It says, or we're singing, at the early dawn of the morning we glorify thee, O Lord, for thou art the Saviour of all creatures. Give us in thy compassion a day full of peace and grant us forgiveness of sins. If you want this alarm sound, or what is it, this alarm music, or, you know, the alarm clock, I'll be more than happy to share with you. But, you know, you're going to have to wake up every morning with my sound, so that may be not so pleasing. But in any case, we're praising God. Praise be to his name. Okay, but I hear you now. I can feel it. Rabbi, this is mere material you're talking about. An alarm clock? Well, I did say the disclaimer was being Christian silly, right? So the question is, however, what do you do when we make the innocent, at times foolish and grievous, mistake of placing our total, uncompromising, unwavering trust in someone, and then that someone betrays us? Should we even attempt to rebuild trust after a betrayal? Well, of course we should. Let me ask you some questions. How many times have you betrayed God today since you woke up? How, you may say. Okay, well then, hold on to your hats. Here we go. Have you prayed? Did you pray this morning? Do you pray? Luke chapter 18, verse 1. I'm just going to give you these verses. You go and spend some time in your scriptures and read them. Do you pray? Are you offering your fast during this great Lent? Luke chapter 5, verse 35, Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, Mark chapter 9, verse 29. Do you read your holy scriptures? Have you read your holy scriptures? John chapter 5, verse 39, both the Old and the New Testaments. Did you allow the sun to go down on your anger or wrath yesterday? Have you used the Lord's name in vain? Oh, Jesus Christ, holy, and I don't want to say it, holy this and holy that. Oh, my, you know, it's disgusting me, but oh, my this and God, right? And I hear this from the mouths of those who claim to be Christians. Bala, we say in Assyrian. Bala lenvida, that means by God. That's taking God's name in vain. Basliwa, bemshicha, you know, swearing by the crucifix of Christ, swearing by the name of Jesus Christ. How many times? Well, we are betraying him one way or the other. But Jesus is always ready and waiting to reconcile and rebuild the relationship at all times. So must we. Why, beloved? Why is Jesus so loving, so kind, so on the alert and always waiting for us to return, even if we have betrayed? Because Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, one of my favorite verses, we have not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our infirmity, that is sickness, but one who was tempted in all respects like us, aside from sin. He didn't sin. So the first step we take to rebuild trust, the first step for rebuilding an element of trust is to sympathize with the infirmity, with the circumstances and the reasons for the breaking of trust. That's what Jesus does. He sympathizes with us, doesn't compromise and doesn't justify, but he sympathizes with us. Sympathize with the weakness and the imperfection of man, beloved. I think the greatest model of rebuilding and reconciling with one who has sinned against us, that is breaking the trust, breaking our hearts, is given in us by Christ himself. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Those who have their scriptures in their hands, let's read together. But if your brother wrongs you, not if you wrong your brother, if your brother wrongs you, reprove, that is, rebuke, admonish him between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. If he does not hear you, take one or two with you, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. But if he will not hear them, then the church, tell the church. And if he does not hear the church, let him be to you as a tax collector and as a heathen, a pagan. But that is not a weapon to go through the processes anticipating the end so that we can cut all ties with our brothers and sisters who have hurt us. No, because in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, when Jesus is asked, how many times shall I forgive my brother who has sinned and returns and repents? There's the key word, repents. Seven times, Simon was trying to be a hero because the norm was three times. Seven times, and Jesus put him in his place as he always did. No, Simon, I tell you 70 times seven, seven. You must be prepared to always reconcile when your brother returns and is repentant. Communication, talking, beloved. Communicating with someone. How can we solve our issues if we don't talk to one another? How can a husband and a wife reconcile if they don't talk to one another? You know, in marriage breakups or marriage difficulties, the first grievous problem or the first grievous mistake the husband and wife do, they don't talk to one another. So how can you reconcile if you're not communicating? Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, there's the first form of communication. God says, the scriptures say, let us make men, us, God, the Trinity is there. There's a communication amongst the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Communication. Talk to that person. Meet with that person. Chill out with that person. Catch up for coffee with that person. And be honest to one another in love. And sometimes in harshness too. We're going to talk about that. And firmness. Then the second step is to help the person whose weakness is breaking the trust that is being gifted to him or her by a person. Help that person. Galatians 6:2, St. Paul writes, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Which law is this? Which law is the law of love? John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment give I to you, that you should love one another, and as I have loved you, so do you also love one another. Help one another. Carry the burden of that brother or sister's weakness, foolishness, whatever it may be. And we're talking about how can you, one more time, rebuild trust. Next, discipline the person. Discipline. Punish. Now, punish doesn't mean beating him up or punching him, you know, punch on and what have you, physical harm. No, no. You know, God does this as well in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the law loves, he chastises, he punishes. You know how he punishes, how he disciplines and chastises? He lets you go on your own way. He lets you live life according to your own understanding, which is foolishness, and knowledge, which is nothing, just like the prodigal son. For whom the Lord loves, he chastises and he scourges those sons or children for whom he has kind regard. Sometimes, yes, our foolishness, when God commits us to our own understanding, our foolishness, yes, we may physically be harmed as well. So let's admonish, manches, rebuke, grieve that person, mapshimlu, bring them to tears. Paul writes this to the Corinthians in his second epistle, chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. For although I grieved you by an epistle, I have no regret. I don't regret grieving those who harm me. I don't regret grieving those who were living in foolishness. Even though I was sorry. Now, grieving and sorry are two different things. He felt sorry for them, but he didn't regret making them grievous. For I saw that the same epistle, though it grieved you for a period of time, on the other hand, gave me great joy, not because you grieved for yourselves, but because your grief brought you to conversion, repentance. Now, that by no means is compromising or justifying, is it? The worst and the most harming thing we can do is to justify and compromise one's weakness, sin, wickedness, etc. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 2 reads, better to go to the house of weeping than to go to the banquet house, because this is the end of all the children of men, or the sons of man, mankind. We say in Assyrian, "Chushkis mapchianuch," go to the poor person who causes you to mourn and grieve, and not the person who causes you to be happy and joy. Lakis mapchianuch, because they're probably gichgabiuch. They're mocking you. St. John Chrysostom writes a commentary on this verse. It is better, we read, to go into the house of mourning than into the house of laughter. But likely enough, you do not like the saying and want to evade it. Let us, however, see what sort of man Adam was in paradise and what he was afterwards. God told him not to eat so that he would not know evil and good. Satan gave him this false glory that you'll be like gods. See, there's the laughter. Gods was a little bit mournful. You know, it was saddened. Do not eat. If Adam had listened and obeyed God, he would not have fallen. Let us, however, see what sort of man Adam was in paradise and what he was afterwards. What sort of man Cain was before and what he was afterwards. And next we are to monitor the signs and re-evaluate our expectations of that person. You know, there is a possibility that the same course or path may be taken one more time by the person that we try to reconcile and rebuild trust. However, if we have prepared ourselves, it will not be so impacting on us, but rather on the person that continues to break the trust and betrays us. And lastly, pray and pray continuously, committing that person to the mercy of God. Notice I didn't say the righteous judgment of God, and I said the mercy of God. For if we ask God to judge one, he will also judge us, remember. Let us leave that for when he returns to judge the world. As we live in this wicked world, let us continue to pray for God's mercy for those that are wicked, for those that are evil, that God will show mercy and long-suffering so that they may return and repent. And if they don't return and repent and leave this wicked world in their wickedness, God then will judge righteously. We say in one of the hymns during the funeral services, if you, O my Lord, judge righteously while we live on earth, who will be victorious before your tribunal? That is why we are constantly begging and pleading the Lord to have mercy on us. Hence the Lord's Prayer, the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Or simply, Lord God, have mercy on me. O Lord, have mercy on your servant. And let us commit that person in the merciful, gracious, healing, forgiving, and helpful hands of our Lord God. Praise and glory be to his name, now and at all times and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.